outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday. It's July 19th. And I'm here alone because Brigetta is running a few minutes late. But the show must go on. So I'll get started with our guest for today. We have a special guest. You're Brigetta's friend,
I am.
And she's not even here to greet you.
You know, it's like, what a terrible host.
Yeah. We have Dennis Luciano. Luciani. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You see,
I'm not mafioso. Everybody automatically thinks that when they see the name. Even though it says I, they automatically go, oh.
Yeah, but you definitely don't look like mafioso.
No,
you know?
No. I look like my mother.
Well, is your mother Italian too?
No, or? She's Irish.
Oh, she's Irish. Yes. Okay, that's why you look Irish.
Yes, that's why I had started getting gray hair when I was 22.
Really?
Yes. I'm screwed. I'm like, be bald on my with my father's side, or go gray by 30 years old on my mother's side.
Yeah. So. But people say gray is better, so I'm learning to live with mine. You know?
Okay.
I'm thinking of dyeing my hair, and everybody says, don't do it, you know, because it looks silly. So it
just
depends.
Just be happy
you know?
You have the hair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know what I would have done if I was bald, man. I would go crazy.
So as an actor, I'm not that vain, but as an actor, I don't want to be pigeonholed into one age category.
Right.
I don't think I look old.
Right.
But, you know, losing
No, you
the
don't.
Hair,
you don't look old
no,
at all.
Thank I you. Mean, but yeah. the hair does represent some sort of age reference, though, yeah. doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So let's see. Are you originally from L.A.?
No, I'm not. I park my car in Harvard Yard.
What the hell is that?
That's my Boston accent.
Oh. That's a very rich Boston accent.
Well, I didn't think I had a Boston accent, to tell you the truth. When I come out here, I don't sound a lot like when I first saw the second season of Average Joe 2, which was that's how I know Brigetta, because I was on Average Joe 1.
Okay, we'll get to that
in
a minute.
But when I first saw some of the other Boston people that they were getting on reality TV with how are ya, with the really, and I'm like, oh my God, I hope I didn't sound like that because just doing fun things that I did some extra work on West Wing with Martin Sheen way back when that was on, and he loves to talk to all the extras, and he was talking to me, and I didn't say the word car or party or harbor or any, didn't say anything like that that would really differentiate or really peg me for Boston, and he still asked me, so you're from the East Coast. I'm like, how the hell did you figure that out? So it's just funny. You try to lose the accent, but it's still there.
Yeah. So you grew up in Boston, there,
yes.
And a mixed family of Italians and Irish,
yes.
Right? That's a good mix, huh?
Yeah, my grandmother had 13 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
On the Italian side.
Wow.
So they were... I still have cousins I haven't even met yet.
Really?
Yeah, it's a huge
family. Now, what I don't understand is how people can afford such big families, especially way back when, you know?
It's amazing to me, because I know that my parents had it tough with just two kids.
Right.
Just to see what, you know, the economy is struggling with here, I don't get it. But, you know, in certain areas, you know, bread is not $2 or $3 a loaf.
That's
you know,
true,
back
yeah.
then, in the old days, in the neighborhoods, you could buy loaves of bread from the bakery and all, you know, stuff like
That's
that.
That's true. And then once the kids are grown, they go out and work and stuff and bring home the money.
Yeah, you know, newspaper kids. You know, even younger kids that they started work early, just be able to, you know, learn the value of a dollar.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. 13 brothers and sisters, man. Is she? So that's your grandmother,
that's
right?
That's my grandmother.
But was she born in Italy or?
She was born.
You're like a few generations here already.
I can say it's a funny story. I can say that I can go to a place here because my grandfather on my Irish side was born in Ireland. So if I show a copy of my birth certificate, my mother's birth certificate, and his birth certificate, I can have dual citizenship with Ireland and USA.
Oh, okay.
I can't do that because I believe both my grandparents were born in the USA. My grandfather in New York and my grandmother here in Massachusetts. You know, with all the brothers and sisters. I don't think they, even though they are from Sicily, I think my grandmother was born here.
Okay. Sounds good. So, wow, that's a big family. And so, as far as you only have one sibling?
Just one younger brother.
A younger brother.
Yes.
And is he still in Boston?
No, he's in Florida.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You see, that's what happens. You grow up, everybody goes everywhere, you know.
It's hard. It's hard to, you know, being out here in California trying to chase the dreams that you want to chase, but when something happens back east, you know, with all the family that's back east, it's just hard. It's 3,000 miles away to keep running back east to be able, if somebody dies or somebody gets married or, you know, things like that, it's really hard to keep in touch.
That's true, yeah. So did you have a good childhood?
I did. I had a great childhood.
Did you really?
I had a great childhood.
Your parents were together.
My parents, well, they got separated and divorced when I was 16. You know, they were divorced when I was 16.
So, oh, okay.
So I, you know, I have that weird, you know, you know, dynamic.
But you've gotten the taste of living together with your parents and stuff.
I had a great upbringing and a great respect. You know, my parents were great with just enough, you know, obedience, you know, stuff like that, where it's, you know, where me and my brother were brought up right.
Right.
We were brought up to respect right and wrong, brought up to, you know, what's good and, you know, and I really thank both my parents for that.
Yeah. So now when, once you left home, at what age did you leave home?
I left home. I was still living home probably at the age of 22.
Oh, okay.
So I was still
there. Cool. And what were you doing at the time? I mean, once you were out of high school and stuff, did you go to college?
You know, UMass Boston, did the whole college thing, and that's where I really flourished and discovered the whole acting stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? So and it just for me, acting just was everything. Everybody thought I was nuts because I was always walking around with these big, huge accounting books and economic books, but you know, that's what kept me alive.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Bridgetta just walked in. Welcome to you. Good morning.
Oh, hello.
As long as you're here, that's fine.
Oh, my goodness. You know what happened is, this has never happened before. Uh-huh. My phone, and I knew this, it's been losing battery recently, and I heard the phone go off at 7 a.m. Someone was calling me, probably to go to the gym, and I ignored it. I was so tired. I was just dead tired. And the phone, and I saw the battery goes, and I'm like, oh, it's fine. And then I wake up and I'm like, I wonder what time it is. Probably like 8:30 or something. I'm like getting ready to get in the shower. I look at the clock in the bathroom, 9:37. I'm like, oh, holy shit. And I have to leave by 9:30 in order to get here, like the latest 9:30 in order to get here. And usually I leave at like 9:15. And I'm like, oh my God, there's no way I'm going to do this. I have to like magically poof through something. And then I'm like, there better not be traffic, like yesterday, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. So I literally...
When you leave something like that, you know, at night, you know, there's always going to be, it's like you're looking at it, and it's probably the same thing you look at every single day, but it's, your mind is heightened. It's like, why is that woman taking 2 seconds to cross, you know, longer to cross the street?
Yes, exactly. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to try my best. And 8 minutes late... It's not so bad.
We appreciate you being here.
I'm sorry.
So we already introduced to Dennis. We're in the heat of a conversation.
Sorry. And here's the funny thing. And then when I'm backing out of the driveway, I'm like, what is that noise? Did I pop a tire? And I get out and look, and I dragged a trash cans all the way. I guess they were behind the car, and I backed them all the way out of the driveway. And because neighbors were coming out looking, and I'm like, why are they looking at me? And then I realized
like noisy and stuff.
Because I had trash cans behind my car and I backed up and they all went all over the street.
Wow.
Oops. Whatever. It's not my. Don't put your trash cans behind my car.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Who checks in the morning?
Anyways, sorry.
All right.
Hi. Yes. What's up? Here.
Yeah, Dennis is here. He made it on time.
Yes.
So we started finding out a little bit about Dennis and everything. And we left off when you went to college.
Yes.
Right? And so after college, what did you go to college for?
I went to college for accounting.
actually.
Oh, really?
I actually went started with computer programming.
So you actually taken life seriously at one time.
At one point.
Okay. Well, my mother was actually not going to support an acting degree. So my mother was the one, you know, if we're going to help you, you know, pay for college, it's going to be to get a degree worth getting. So I didn't appreciate it then, but I appreciate it now being out here in LA to be able to support myself.
Right.
I'd be, you know, now I have to thanks mom for, you know, for, you know, pushing me.
That's
in
true. Yeah. So, so you learned accounting 4 years.
Yes.
And so you must be good at accounting now.
I don't have my CPA, but you know I can crunch a number or two.
Yeah. You know? I know it does get boring after a while. I used to do accounting also, and I mean if you have actor's blood in you, it's hard to do accounting.
Yes.
So okay, so you did accounting for a while. Did you start working in that?
I did. I started interning in Boston. I started, you know, working for a mutual fund company in Boston, and then it just so happened that I made my first commercial out there in Boston, and all that fame and whatever
just went straight
and I said, I gotta get more. So that's when I started making the plans to move out here.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you figured you're gonna move where all the action is.
Yes. Everybody thought it would be nuts. Well, why don't you just go to New York? Because New York's closer. And New York scared me more than California did.
It's so weird. I wonder why.
New York is kind of a scary place because it's so, like, so many people, you know. And, it is, you know, and it's a big city. I mean, here's a big city, too, but it's spread out,
right.
You know. So,
you don't really notice it.
Yeah, it's really different. So you decided to up and go and move to L.A.
Yeah, I have two aunts that are out here, so that was the other draw.
Yeah.
I did have family here. I don't have family in New York, but New York was closer, but I don't, something about California, and just wanted to do it. Just wanted to take that big leap. And I have so many friends that are back east that I consider so much more talented than a lot of the Hollywood people that are out here, but they were too chicken.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, if you've got to follow your dreams, you got to do it.
Right.
You got to, I mean, it hasn't really majorly happened for me out here yet.
Right.
But I've sustained a good life out here so far. I mean, I've been out here since November of 2000.
Oh.
So, and I've survived. I've lived by myself. I've had a couple of roommates and situations, but I've lived by myself. I've supported myself.
Right. Had you been to L.A. before you moved here? I mean, so you knew what you were moving to. Because some people just move here without ever visiting here before.
Just one, as a kid, my mother put me on a plane to go visit my aunts as a kid.
Okay.
So, you know, I wouldn't count that trip.
Yeah.
You know?
So it still takes guts to get up and leave like that.
It does.
And move to a new place.
Mm-hmm.
And you were what, 22, 23 at the time?
No, I was 32 when I moved
out. Oh, wow.
Here.
Okay, so you had been working there for a while and everything.
Mm-hmm.
How did the commercial come up?
The commercial came up because I was doing musical theater production of Grease at the time, and one of the guys that I was in that was already shooting a commercial back then when the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire game show with Regis Philbin. That's when that first came on the air. We were one of the first people to do a riff on that for a commercial, because the person that was sitting in the other actor's seat was immediately violently sick or something like that. So my friend that was in the other part suggested me, because I was already in a perfectly good costume that they wanted for that, because I was the nerd in Greece.
So
it said, Dennis, you don't have to audition, we want you. So they just sat me in there.
But how did you get a part in Greece? I mean, did you have any acting experience or anything?
You know, just all the theater acting. I have almost 20 years of musical theater behind me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, you didn't mention that. How do I know? You were talking about accounting. When did you get into that?
That's right when I started in UMass Boston. I was looking for something to be able to keep me alive, because
those
economics and taxation and books and I kept flipping through the course requisites of what other courses can I take, and I was like the last page is like theater arts. I'm like, oh, hello.
Yeah.
So
I'll
shoved as many theater arts courses. I almost had a double major of accounting and theater arts.
Yeah.
Everybody thought it was nuts, but that's the only thing that kept me alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you felt you had a creative bone in your body and you needed to express it. Sounds good. So you started getting into theater, then a commercial happened, and you decided this is where I want to be, right?
Yep.
I want to be where all the action is. So you moved out here, and what year was it?
2000. November of 2000.
In 2000, you moved out here. Mm-hmm. And so you only knew your aunts and stuff.
Right.
But you probably brought some money with you, so you were able to get started and everything.
Yes.
And so then what was the first thing you did? Did you get a job in accounting first?
Yes, I did. My first major job was with this place called Actuality Productions.
Mm-hmm.
They actually were just right around the corner here when I first started working. Did a lot of stuff for History Channel. Modern Marvels, and they did some biography stuff and some A&E.
You know what? I wonder if you did my biography thing when I did it. I was in that. I did the hell is it called? It was Olympias. And Alexander the Great.
Oh, Alexander. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, did you work then?
No.
Damn.
No.
I don't know. Oh yeah, wait, you didn't work there because you were at never mind.
No. So I was there. Thing. I was there from 2000 to 2005.
It was 2004.
Yeah, then I was there.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Well, that's just that's funny too, because when I started working at National Lampoon, going through all the stuff at National Lampoon, Holly King.
Yeah.
From Big Brother.
Yeah.
She used to be our tool girl.
Oh my god, that is so funny. She's one of my good friends.
Tool girl. And it's like, so I saw that. Oh, that's kind of funny. And then when I interviewed or something, did something, I'm like, Holly, wait a minute, I know you. You work at National. I work at National. Oh my god, Dennis, how are you?
It's so funny.
It's like the world keeps getting smaller.
And smaller. I met him when you worked at National Lampoon.
Oh really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What you mean, the magazine or the movies?
Both. But they hadn't done the magazine for a while at that point. But because I was on Average Joe with another guy whose cousin was the CEO of National Lampoon.
Right.
That's how I got the job in the accounting department.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it was a great job to be able to get into.
Exactly. To get your foot in the door and everything.
For movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that develop? I mean, how did you move from the accounting to the movies? Did somebody notice you? Did you have to audition?
I kept keeping my ears to the door, saying, okay, oh, movie project coming up. Can I audition?
Yeah.
Movie project coming up. Hey, don't forget me. The thing was, California being an expensive state to film in, some of the movies that we were filming were always going out of state.
Yeah. Mm.
So it was hard for me to do some of the things that we were making.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm glad we didn't, because some of the stuff that we did was good and some of the stuff we did was not so good.
Wow. Yeah.
And I know a few of the things that were not so good. I met him when I used to work for this liquor company, long story short, that was I was the West Coast in charge of all the West Coast operations in the same building as National Lampoon.
Mm.
And so I met because I painted my office pink, hot pink. Mm. My entire office was hot pink.
Kind of hard to miss.
And I had a lot of booze. So I made friends in the building very easily.
I'm sure.
And then we had our booze in their movies. We sponsored some of their stuff, some of the films. Mm-hmm. So that's how I met him.
Oh, okay.
And cool. I didn't drink. So, don't the big draw was the pink room.
But yeah, he's like...
And her sunny personality.
This room is... I mean, it was bright hot pink.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted.
Wow. And they went along with it, huh?
Well, it was we rented a big office. It was a pretty big office. It was two rooms on in their building. So, yeah. Mm. And then I had models coming in and out. So people are like, hot pink room and lots of hot models coming in and out. What's going on in here? And booze. What are you really doing in here?
Every man's wet dream.
That's how I got into a couple of... I'm grateful for that. How I got into, but I just need a better agent. Need to keep that ball rolling.
Right.
You know?
So did you get yourself an agent and everything?
I do, but... It's still, I'm still not getting out there as much as I want to be getting out there.
Yeah, it does take a while.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go back to, so how did you get into National Lampoon? I mean, you were working at the History Channel, right, for a while.
The History, I was working for, for doing stuff for the History Channel, but they knew because I was totally upfront and honest. When I was there at Actuality Productions, that's when... I got into Average Joe.
Mm.
So they were fine with letting me go for the weeks that I was gone for that reality show.
Oh.
But then they knew, because my boss was great. They knew I was going to be the actor. And when the first accountant versus Al Counton left, the normal progression would be, well, promote Dennis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want to do that.
Yeah,
because they know, they, you know, they were
your heart was on something else. That's,
but, you know, which was frustrating because I also had to train the next person that was going to be above me. I'm like, come on, that's not fair. But so when, you know, things started, you know, downsizing a little, you know, I got laid off.
Oh,
so,
wow.
But at that time, and I already, you know, I already knew the National Lampoon people, too, and they already knew my story. They already knew what was happening. So they, you know, they invented an accounting position, which turned into full-time, which I was very grateful for that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And what year was that?
That was back in 2005.
2005. So National Lampoon was still publishing in that time?
They were still, they weren't publishing the magazine back then. They were, they were still, you know, collecting the royalties from their good movies like Animal House and Vacation stuff.
Right.
Still making their own movies, but still also, like, if Brigetta and Sam came to me, me being National Lampoon, with an already movie done in the can, you know, just Brigetta and Sam's movie.
Right.
You would want, you know, to brand, you would want me to brand it.
Okay.
National Lampoon's Brigetta's and Sam's movie.
Right.
That I would look
add
at
a lot
you would
more
give
value
me money
it.
For it, you give me percentage of royalties for the year. That's how we did Van Wilder. We
I see. Okay.
We didn't make Van
That's
Wilder.
So
but,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that at all. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we, you know, people would come to us with certain things. Like, some of it good, some of it not good. You know, we had a movie with Paris Hilton.
It was that, that, bottoms up.
Yeah.
And we, our company, like, invested in that.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Just, yeah, that was just really
what
bad.
What kind of a movie? I'd never heard of that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know,
I think it was straight to video.
Yeah. Wasn't one of our, you know, No offense to Paris Hilton, but, you know, it wasn't one of our finest moments.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it used to be a very popular magazine in the 70s and 80s, you know, and then they stopped publishing for some reason and got into the movies and stuff.
Well, everything's gone digital, too.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the other one, too? It was a guy, I don't remember, I thought she was, in two of them?
Pledge This.
Maybe that's what
another what? Mm-hmm. Another magazine?
Yeah, another movie.
Oh, another movie with Paris Hilton?
Yes.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Her Oscar winning, you know, whatever. You know,
Yeah.
No, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, they just, you know, you can go out. I mean, I know, you know, that we probably passed on some good movies, too. I mean, cause I know, I saw, you know, we National Lampoon passed on Meet the Parents.
Really?
Wow.
When they came to, they passed.
Oh, my God.
And look where that movie went.
Yeah.
And we passed on one other, too, that I'm trying to remember at the back of my head that I can't remember. But it was another, you know, it was another, you know, high-ranking, you know, comedy.
Right.
That's everybody.
So is that the way it happened with the earlier movies, too? I mean, like Vacation
no, we
and
made
Animal
those.
House. You made
we
those.
We made those.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's why, that's right now, you know, a good source of income because you know those movies play all over the place. You know, you can't turn on the TV without seeing it on Showtime or you know or you know Comedy Central or something. You know somewhere's playing it. So every time it's cha-ching. Every time that movie plays, it just keeps adding up into the royalty bucket that National Lampoon would still get.
Yeah. So okay, so you stayed there for a while and you started with the movies. Now, how did you get into the reality show type of thing?
The reality show, because I love Survivor. Love Survivor. So I happen
to you've aspired to be on a reality show?
I aspired to be on Survivor.
Oh,
only
okay.
Survivor.
Really?
Only Survivor. So I saw, because I had kept a copy of it, I had saw an ad on Craigslist, of all things. NBC was doing what I thought was their version of Survivor.
Oh.
So I emailed and replied to it. Uh-huh. And based on the email reply, they called me up based on the phone call interview, they called me in for a non-camera interview.
Really?
So I thought it'd be funny, and I brought my hula hoops in.
Wow.
So,
you didn't have to send, like, a video or anything?
No, because that's where they put me on video on the on-camera interview.
I see, okay.
He is always the most creative person ever. Like, every time I see him, he's got the most amazing different outfit. Like, he really stands out. Like, it's really good branding. Like, you've done a really good job with yourself, dude.
I'm actually wearing one of the shirts I wore on Average Joe.
Really?
You're so funny.
This is the shirt. It's kind of funny because, you know, when we were there, one, you know, the producers kept asking, okay, what did you guys want? After the first elimination, they were trying to cater to all the 12 of us that were left.
Mm.
So some of the guys were, well, we want the premium booze. We want this. We want. that they came to me and said, Dennis, you haven't asked this for anything, because I was pretty fine with this. Well, can you clear out the tennis court? Because I'd love to be able to play tennis. So they looked at me and thought I was going to break sure, we'll clear the tennis court. So they had the tennis rackets, and when they started filming, they weren't even really being serious about filming us playing tennis. They just had somebody with a camera out there. Mm-hmm. And Adam, that was the last average Joe standing for my season, was serving. And he served a bullet straight into my back.
Oh, really?
And that, you saw on the commercial, almost like every 5 seconds, you'd see a commercial for Average Joe, me getting up, it was like, I was like, wearing this shirt.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So this is cool. So you went to audition and then they decided to pick you. How many people did they pick for the season?
There were actually 17. But when 17 of us were taken to Palm Springs, they made an executive decision and they let one of the guys go there. Mm. They wanted an even number, I don't know. So
right,
there were 17 of us, but there were only 16 average Joes.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And was this the first season?
This was the first season.
Wow. So, yeah, that's a pretty
good privilege. Know what was going on. They didn't know what to do. We didn't know what was going on. So it was... It was great, to be able to be a part of something that was the first. You were part of the first season of a couple of different shows.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now I've never watched the show. What is the premise of Average Joe? No, because I don't watch a lot of TV.
Aww.
It was unfortunately a whacked out version of The Bachelorette. It was NBC's version of The Bachelorette.
Mm.
The girl Milena, love her to death. She was already on an NBC reality show called Meet My Folks. And I don't know if you watch a lot of reality TV, but that was the birth of the lie detector guy that went on to Who Wants to Marry My Dad.
Oh, okay.
I have a lot of reality TV swimming around
up here.
Yeah,
you do.
And it didn't work out, the relationship that Milena was in, that the parents had picked out for her, but the producers really liked her, so they kept in touch with her. Hey, how's things going? And how's the relationship, hunting and stuff? And she kept saying things like, you know what? Relationships are what they are. I'm looking for a guy with a personality. I don't care about looks. So, producers were like, let's take her to task and put her to work. So they told her that they were going to make her the new bachelorette.
Uh-huh.
They didn't tell her what they were going to do. They told all of us guys it was like an adventure show. They didn't tell us it was a dating show.
Oh, my God.
Otherwise, I would have said no.
Yeah.
I didn't find out it was a dating show until 2 days before.
Really?
Now,
why would you have said no? You weren't confident in the dating?
I have a hard enough time doing it in the real world. Why the hell am I going to do it on national TV? Okay? No.
That's
okay.
Funny.
Yeah.
Now, why wouldn't they tell you guys? I mean,
because they were looking for personalities.
I see.
That's
okay.
what they do a lot of that on for casting stuff like that, where they're... Mm. They're going, hey, how would you like to be on a reality TV show? They don't tell you what the premise is.
Mm.
They won't tell you, look at the guy that got fooled for Joe Schmo.
Mm.
He thought, he was fooled by everybody.
Really?
It wasn't just,
Yeah.
So they got all four seasons of Average Joe's. They got all four, where they kept the secret a secret. That's the only reason why probably there weren't any more seasons, because, you couldn't keep the secret a secret anymore.
Wow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... You guys were competing for what? Her attention and stuff?
Yeah, for just a date. It wasn't like a big money prize. It wasn't like, it was just to get the girl. That was it.
Right. So was it like The Bachelorette in a way?
It was The Bachelorette, but they also, the big twist of Average Joe is towards the end of the season, when there were, for our season, there were only 3 Average Joes left. In the upcoming seasons, they increased it and they made it a lot sooner. They added hunks.
Mm.
They added jocks. They added, good-looking, six-pack dab, modelly guy. So now she's looking at Average Joe's, short, fat, skinny, average, nerdy Average Joe.
Right.
And she's looking at six-pack dab, runway model guy.
Wow.
What do I want? Then Milena chose a hunk.
Yeah. Well, obviously.
Larissa chose a hunk.
Yeah.
For season 2.
Uh-huh.
Season 3, they brought Adam back from my season to go after girls, because I was there. I was the only Average Joe, actually, to be used in all 4 seasons.
Really?
I was a contestant in the season, in
the
season
first
1.
Season.
Then I was brought back for 2, 3, and 4 as guest host capacity.
Oh, wow.
So that was cool. That was really cool to be able to do, to be a part of that.
Right. So did you guys actually go out on dates with mm-hmm. her and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. How was it? How was it for you? Were you intimidated? Was she beautiful?
She's gorgeous.
Girl? Yeah?
Just like this, right here.
Oh, stop.
I wouldn't have a shot in hell with this right here.
Oh, stop.
You don't know. She likes dirty guys.
No. No, but The only time I had any alone time with her was on our group date. It was a group date of four. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny because my story with the producers was I'm very competitive. Mm-hmm. My father raised two very competitive sons. Mm-hmm. You may not be able to see it, but I love to perform in sports.
Mm-hmm.
I love to play.
We did Reality Rally together and we did the mud run, which was really funny.
I'm not in good shape, so don't even. Okay, she ran with me, but I said, "Well, Brigitte, you've got more gas in the tank. You got to go." So I let her go because I was like, I finished.
Yeah.
Okay, in the same day.
Uh-huh.
But,
yeah.
And I wound up coming in first place female and 10th overall out of 713 people.
Well, that's
Woo-hoo!
Amazing.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. We have a phone call. Somebody's been trying to call. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is John Ray calling for Brigitte.
Hey.
John Ray.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, Bridge. What's going on?
Good. This is John. Actually, he's on the show Property Wars.
Oh, okay.
That
you
is on
him.
Discovery Channel.
Wow.
And yes, and his show just aired last Thursday, was it? It was the 12th, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Last Thursday, yes.
And and so he's actually a good friend of mine, mm-hmm. and I'm so excited for him to have to be a part of Property Wars. So.
Yeah. Well, what's Property Wars about? Tell us a little bit about it.
The show follows four of us in the Phoenix real estate market. We basically try to buy foreclosure properties at the courthouse steps at the foreclosure auctions. It's a pretty competitive market. There's usually, 20, 30, 40 people down there bidding on things, and we're four of the more aggressive groups down there, so they just kind of watch what we do and the stuff that we go after and the things that we buy. We normally buy these properties sight unseen, so it's kind of interesting what we get after we purchase them.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. And I'm sure there's a lot of property to buy out there now, huh?
Yes, there is. There's quite a few to choose from. Unfortunately, it's also very aggressive, so the bidding wars are pretty aggressive, and you end up paying quite a bit for these when you think you're getting great discounts, But
yeah.
I'm sure the market's pretty similar in Los Angeles, too.
That almost sounds like, because I get caught up in watching Storage Wars on A&E. There's an actual reality show called Storage Wars, where they go do bidding on people's, that left their storage bins behind.
Right.
People are bidding with, sight unseen a lot of times. About the junk that's inside people's storage.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Same premise, except whether we find something good inside or something bad, it always it's always interesting. And there is a lot of gamesmanship. Like I said, there's the same groups are down there every day. We know each other, and there are people. Doug's one of the guys in the show, and East Valley is his territory. Some of the suburbs of Phoenix, like Mesa, Chandler, Gilbert. And anytime there's a house in that, there's houses in that area every day, and he's pretty aggressive on all of them because he tries to protect his area.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, there's other people that go in and try to, jump in there. And there are sometimes a little bit of posturing, bidding wars, and things like that happen, so it's interesting.
Right.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of drama, I guess, when...
Yes.
When we want to hear the drama. What were some of the things that happened when you guys were filming?
Well, I try to stay away from the drama, but yeah, there's a couple of guys that, we have two guys from Brooklyn that don't mind getting into other people's faces whatsoever,
New Yorkers. That helps, huh?
Yeah, Scott's one of the characters, and if you watch the show, you'll see that he's a pretty brash guy from New York, and he doesn't care, he pretty much tells it like it is, so they butt heads quite often, and there was a couple times when they were pretty close to coming to blows, because one guy feels like the other guy made him pay too much for a house, and he really didn't want it, but he bit him up on purpose, kind of thing.
God.
and honestly, it does happen. I've been down at the courthouse, for 10 years, and the groups have come and gone, but there's always been people that, for some reason don't like each other, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of drama, like you said. I try to avoid all that.
Right.
All drama does is cost me money.
Understood. Now, how was it, this is your first time being on a show, and having, cameras in your face when you normally, this is your day-to-day job, how was that adjustment?
It was an interesting process, to say the least. I have newfound respect for the people that do this every day. Yeah, it was interesting, and you know, some of the stuff you have to do it in one take because that's basically us bidding on houses and things like that. So you can't, you know, you can't repeat that, you know.
Right.
And, you know, when you walk into a hush, it is what you get. You know, you walk in for the first time and it is what you get, you know. And sometimes it isn't what you thought it was going to be. So it's interesting. But the cameras are definitely a different perspective, that's for sure. And, you know, filming outside in the heat wasn't always a lot of fun either. But,
yeah.
But it was, you know, it's amazing to me. You know, seeing the finished product, what these professionals can do with the stuff that we shot and some of the stuff that, you know, the editing and stuff that's done, it's amazing. You know, it truly is something that's amazing to me because I'm not on that side. You know, I do real estate. I'm not in show business. I'm not in TV. You know?
Well, you are now, and now you're a reality star, just like Dennis and I here.
Yeah.
So
sometimes it's a little uncomfortable. You know,
yeah.
we watched it last Thursday with a group of people, and you know, a little bit uncomfortable. I wasn't sure what it was going to look like. So.
Yeah. Well, you know what's going to be funny now is just like when we had the guy yesterday on a show from what show was he on? Bounty Wars,
yeah.
He was saying how he's getting recognized already, and it's like you're going to start to get recognized, and people are going to come up to you like, I know you, and you're going to be like, no, I don't know you.
Yeah.
And, and it's like this whole like weird thing, and this is because they recognize you from TV, and they think they actually know you, and
right.
It's this whole new dynamic that you're going to be like, what the hell just happened?
Uh-huh.
That's wonderful. Thanks. Well, I shaved my head just so I'm hoping not to get recognized.
Oh, stop it, John.
How many shows have you already filmed?
We've filmed 6 episodes, and I believe they're running 2 last Thursday, 2 tonight, and 2 next week. I believe we were supposed to air a little bit later, but I think, you know, with the Olympics coming up,
yeah.
It was a smart choice by them to put it on earlier. And I think it runs for, you know, I checked the schedule. I believe it runs during the week a couple nights a week.
Yeah, to repeat
episodes. So yeah, 6 episodes total. And actually, it was a lot of fun filming. You know, it's a different dynamic that I never was used to. And it was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. Now, how did you become associated with the show?
Well, I've been doing this for a long time, and apparently some of the people over at the production company saw a YouTube video of an interview I did on a blog for somebody, and based on that, they contacted me and asked me if I wanted to do it, and I actually turned them down a couple times, before I actually agreed to do it, because I wasn't really sure if that was something I wanted to expose myself to,
yeah.
You know, so, and it's... You know, a lot of my competitors are like, well, you're going to cause a lot of people to come down to the auctions and bid it. You know, it's like, nah, this isn't like Storage Wars. You can't just walk down to the auction
right.
and start bidding on houses because you saw it on TV.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, as much as it might look easy on TV, it's a whole different dynamic. So.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Well, this is great. So it airs again tonight and comes on at 10 p.m. on Discovery Channel.
I believe so. 10 p.m. Eastern, depending on... It's a little bit goofy here. If we have DirecTV, it's 7 and 7:30. If it's a different cable company here, then it's 10:30. So depending on what...
10.
I believe West Coast, you're at 10:30.
Yeah. Mm. So Discovery Channel tonight, Property Wars, 10:30. And you know what is great is I took John to Sundance a couple years ago. We've known each other. We've been good friends. And he got to experience the, you know, what Sundance was like coming as like my guest and my friend. And this year he's actually on a show. So we get to go again this year. I'm going to talk you guys into going. And you're going to experience it from being on Discovery Channel show.
Yeah,
it's going to be
a celebrity.
Awesome. Exactly.
Yeah, instead of going as a guest and looking at all the celebrities, you know, I guess we'll see. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We only have 6 episodes.
It doesn't matter.
Well, just call all your friends and tell them to watch tonight.
I will. I'm going to start tweeting and telling everyone, yes, to watch tonight for sure. And you guys have to start doing that, too. Social networking's huge.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yes.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Of course,
yeah,
John.
Thanks for
thank
calling
you.
In. Love you to death. Everyone listening to Discovery Channel's Property Wars tonight at 10:30.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Good talking to you guys. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I kind of let him wait. I mean, he's been calling for a while. I just didn't. We were in the heat of a conversation. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to take a call, but
no, that's good.
It sounds like fun.
Another
everybody's
new
reality
show.
Yeah, everybody's on reality
show
now.
It was kind of, you know, what's funny about that is I was just because I had judged last year for Jillian for our reality stuff a dog a dog surfing contest last year. Mm-hmm. Which, funny story for you. There was a German newspaper there that just printed an article last week.
Oh my God.
A picture of me and one of the other dogs, Peter. Dog and his dog. There was a picture of it because I was dressed up like a dog for the
He always wears these costumes. Okay, that's what we were saying.
Yes.
Because he did that. And then when we did the mud run, he wore a suit.
Really?
In the mud. A suit. And I was thinking, and this is true because I was thinking too, like once we're running in our shoes, I'm like, the mud's really... And I remember laughing because I'm running next to him and I'm like, we're talking the whole time. And he's like, just shut up. I can't talk. And I'm like, well, why not? I don't understand why you can't talk to me. I can't run and not talk. You need to talk to me. And he's like, oh my God, Rosetta, just shut up. And I'm running and I'm like, you know what's really crazy is that the mud is like super heavy on your shoes. And I'm like, this is really hot. And he's like looking at me and I'm like, oh, that's right, you're in a suit. This must be even heavier for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm ridiculous now. I'm going to go.
Oh, wow.
But my funny story, when I was searching for a collar to wear for the dog costume, I was right down here on Ventura Boulevard, close to, there's a couple of dog places.
Yeah,
or dog
there's some good ones.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking to the owner of one of these places, you know, getting a dog collar, but it's for me. So, you know, they started laughing, and I had to tell a reason
She's
why.
Like, what the hell is going on?
Because it was actually a Playboy leash and a collar. So, that's cool. But they told me that recently, within just, a couple of weeks, a production company came in and asked them, they wanted to film a reality show there.
Mm.
And started, says, well, we want to bring our own hot girls in. We want to bring our own dramatic people in. And they said no. So it's these people that are out there that are trying to create a reality show about anything.
Yeah.
You know, about, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a reality show about, toenail grooming or something,
possibly, one day it'll happen.
Salon of some sort. I don't know,
I would think by now you'd come up with an idea for
You would think so. Yeah.
But there's just, when they interviewed me at the time that I was doing Average Joe, when I was in New York or Access Hollywood and Today Show stuff, they asked me that question. So what do you think about reality shows? Well, there was so much reality TV then. Back in 2003 that I didn't think that we were going to be popular, but we were.
Right.
There was just so much, and there's still so much being developed.
Right.
I mean, with your friend John Ray, it almost sounds like a different version of Millionaire Listings with what's his face?
I know you're talking about. Yeah, I can't think of his name either.
He's got a weird. He's got a funny, cool, long name.
And it's funny because he was telling me too, because like when I remember, and this is actually really funny. So when we went to Sundance originally, I got him in as I lied and said he was a celebrity. So he got in, him and my other girlfriend got in as celebrities, and they got to experience Sundance on that level.
Who's gonna know?
Somewhat.
There's so much reality TV out there that who's gonna know?
Exactly, and that's exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. And I did that for one of the gift suites because I knew something. Wow. I was like, this will be fine. Mm-hmm. And the other ones, no. But for that one, they were like, holy shit, and it was a really good one. I mean, I'm talking Fred Siegel was there.
Wow.
So they walked. They had a good time. So now we laugh because now he's actually on a reality show, and I'm like, see, my little like twisting of the truth went along because they said he had his own show. I'm like, you do have your own show now. So see, I just put it out to the universe. The universe slapped you right back with your own show. It's pretty great.
Or put it out in the universe for me, will you?
We need another one.
Yes.
We both need another one. And you know what's funny is like right now there's so many reality pilots going on, and I'm in four of them. Right now. One of them better freaking take. I swear to God, one of them better happen. But I mean, they're hosting. Yeah. Like, they're not about me. They're, two of them are. But the other ones are mostly like me hosting a show that has to do with other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see what happens.
That's exactly what I'm trying to get into as well.
That'd be great. Us reality stars, we need to come up with our own show that we can pitch because we've both been on reality, that we both have our own fan base, and this. They would pick it up more than likely.
Yeah.
We can start brainstorming.
Beauty and the Geek, right here.
There you go.
That was one of our actually working titles too. Yeah, but
then they changed
it to Average because they saw the whole relationships that the guys were having.
Right.
It was almost like a frat. And then, you know, the CW or whatever.
Camp
the WB,
Beauty and the Geek.
Beauty and the Geek.
Which our friend Lauren Bergfeld was one of the beauties on that. And then she hosted second season.
And one of the guys that was on my season, yeah, actually his company, he was one of the producers for Beauty
so
and the Geek.
Funny.
Yeah, it's just the, you know, the world.
The reality world. Yeah, it just twists.
Yes.
And it's all linked. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I think your story is telling in the way that women, I think the bottom line is they'll go for the looks, you know? And that's bullshit. I mean, look, with you too. Like a couple months ago, we were sitting here and Brigitte's like, no, you know, I don't go for the looks. I go for this. The moment we go out, she's like, who are those hot guys here?
Well, they were hot. And I was like, ooh. And I was like, just wondering who
great.
They were.
You see,
no,
that's what
but
I mean,
there are so many times that I've dated people that it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
You know? So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Prime example. I mean, go on whosdatedwho.com and look up the guys that I've dated. I'm not
really
going to mention names because they're,
okay,
you know, and there's they're all known.
Uh-huh.
And you can look and you can see yourself. You'll see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta put, all right.
There you go.
I got a shot. Sam,
yeah.
I got a shot.
Yeah. Just stay persistent, you know. So this is cool. So what are you doing now?
I am currently unemployed right now.
Mm.
So I'm looking for new accounting work. I'm on unemployment here. I'm looking
because
National Lampoon took a hit as well.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's just, yeah, you know, it's a tough world out there, you know, to try
it
to.
It really is,
you know,
huh?
Mm-hmm.
But I would think in accounting there'd be quite a bit out there.
There is.
No?
It's just trying to find the right accounting job that's going
right.
to still allow me chase the acting stuff.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
so
I could have already, you know, sitting in a debt, but I didn't want to have somebody, you know, standing over me. Why did you move out of that chair for 5 minutes? Oh, I had to go to the bathroom. You know, I didn't want somebody to, you know, monitor my every move because
right.
National Lampoon was great. If I had an audition and I was gone for an extra half hour, they didn't blink.
Mm.
Right.
You know, they were very supportive in my chase
right.
of the
right.
acting stuff. So that was a hard benefit to give up.
Mm.
So, you know, people kept saying, because, you know, National Lampoon started having hard times 3 years ago.
Right.
And that's when everybody started bailing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't bail because I was holding on to that major benefit.
Right.
I didn't
right.
want to go, you know, anywhere else. I didn't, you know, I didn't
yeah.
want to. Maybe I can get that.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, somewhere else, maybe, mm-hmm. but, you know, I didn't want to take that chance.
Yeah.
Right.
So I
yeah.
stayed there till the bitter end, until they, you know, had to let me go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least I admire you because, I mean, you still make sure that you work and
mm-hmm.
that you earn a living. And, you know, a lot of people come here and they're just very poor. You know, they
or
don't
no,
think...
they come here with all these big dreams and think it's going to happen
yeah.
overnight.
Right, right.
And piss through their savings.
So they don't
yeah.
have anything to fall back
right,
on. Exactly.
Right. That's why I'm going to thank my mother again.
Yeah.
My mother, you know, she gave me, you know, she forced me to, you know, not get the theater arts degree,
right.
but get the accounting degree so I can support myself.
Exactly.
And you know, I'm even surviving on unemployment right now. So
wow.
then, you know, that which is good.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to do what I can do, and I've got some under the table jobs that I do some bookkeeping for.
Right.
One of the ones is a company owned by William Shatner.
Really?
Of all
oh, wow.
you know, called My Outer Space. I was
uh-huh.
doing the books for them every couple of months. You know, and I just get the books and just do that kind of
right.
thing. So I haven't met him in person yet,
that's
but
so
you know,
cool.
it's just really, you know, it's really cool.
Yeah.
yeah. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dennis,
mm-hmm.
Luciani.
Yes. No, you got to wave to him. Remember?
You got to
wave
Luciani.
Right there. Luciani.
Okay, Mr. Average Joe,
mm-hmm.
thank you so much for joining us.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Don't make me go.
We'll have to invite you back sometime.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
See how I only live 2 seconds around the corner.
Yeah,
awesome.
Absolutely.
Oh, cool.
All right, Brigitte, thank you so much.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Woohoo!
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigitte, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigitte is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.